morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord and offer to him our praise and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. As we come this morning, a couple of brief announcements. This time of year gets to be busy, and there are plenty of things that are going to start happening around the church. We celebrate the sacrament of communion this Sunday morning. And for those who are here in the sanctuary, and for some of the people who are joining us on the live stream. Pardon me. If you have the communion cups, which everyone in the sanctuary will have at the appropriate time, just a brief reminder that there's a very thin layer of clear cellophane over the top that needs to be opened so that you can release the wafer that is on the top of the cup, and then underneath that there is the wine. So you take the wafer out first, you can consume your wafer, and then a moment later you can open. Because of the way the elements are being served all at once in the one little cup, the bread and the wine will follow along fairly expeditiously, so there won't be a large pause in between. So just so that you're ready for that. For those who are at home, as I say, we do distribute the communion cups, and I know the usual number went out to folks this past week. But if you are joining us and you don't have one of those cups, feel free to join us as we celebrate communion. And if you have a little bit of bread, a cracker, anything like that will do. Some people have said they prefer doing their communions at home on the camera because they have wine when they're at home, and we only have grape juice here. So if you have good wine at home, please feel free to use that. In a pinch, even apple juice will suffice. So please do, if you feel the Spirit moving you, join us in the celebration of the sacrament this morning. In a couple of weeks' time, we will have a couple of special services here in our regular worship at St. John's in 2 weeks' time. That is December the 11th. We will be celebrating White Gift Sunday, and we will be collecting the usual donations for both Agape and the food bank there, and for Baldwin House, which is our shelter for women seeking shelter. So all of your gifts on that Sunday will be appreciated. And then on that afternoon, a new service is taking place ecumenically on December the 11th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Knox St. Paul's United Church. Reverend Aaron McIntyre, Reverend Peter Crosby from Trinity Anglican, and myself will be hosting a we settled on the name Quiet Christmas. Some people might know it as Blue Christmas, but for all of us who were gathered around the table, that just conjured up way too many reminiscences of Elvis. So we decided against that right away. But it's a service especially tailored for those who mourn at Christmas time. And that may be deaths that have happened either in the past year or in past years. It may also be mourning loss of relationships or economic pressures, anything that is causing you to feel just a little bit less joyful when you get greeted with Merry Christmas in the mall. That service is for you. And again, that is on the 11th at 3 p.m. at Knox St. Paul's United Church here in town. And finally, on Tuesday morning, if you come to the church looking for the minister, you won't find him. If you really need to speak to me on Tuesday morning, I am going to be on my roof, because I think it's going to be the last sunny day before winter really comes. And there's something that I've been putting off for far too long. So Tuesday morning, I'm not going to be here. I'm pretty sure you're not going to come to visit me on my roof. And ladies of the WOC who will be working in the kitchen on Wednesday morning, if I don't see you on Wednesday morning, I'm in the hospital because I've been on my roof on Tuesday morning. To let folks know, the office will not be open on Tuesday morning. As we come into the presence of our Lord this morning and begin the season of Advent, we are pleased to light the Advent wreath this morning. And the Hum family will be guiding us through that. Do I have that right? Good. And there's a lighter up on the wreath, or on the stand. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning and join our voices together.
Isaiah the prophet gives hope to the hopeless.
God promises a new heaven and a new earth where weeping and crying will be heard no more, where the people will build houses and live in them and plant vineyards and eat their fruit.
Jesus promises that we will dwell in the presence of God, therefore we will not be troubled.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In him we place our trust.
Let us pray.
God of hope,
we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for whom we wait, may we seek to walk in this way. Believe in the truth he came to give us, and receive the life he offers to all who trust in him. Life is your presence. Amen.
Thank you very much. And this morning's opening hymn is the 782 in the Book of Praise. Isaiah the prophet has written of old. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screen. God does not regard us with partiality, but with the grace of Christ Jesus deals with each of us according to our need. With gratitude for God's amazing grace, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer as it appears before us on the screens. God who is with us, and God who is on the way, we confess that we do not wait or watch for you. Works of darkness encumber and distract us. Petty jealousies, hard quarrels, ambitions rooted in selfish desire all command our attention. We have ceased to hope for peace and harmony among the nations, or for security apart from the defenses we construct. We hear your promises, Lord, but we dare not trust them. God of power and love, awaken us to hope and fit us for your coming, that we may watch for you with confidence and joy. Amen. Friends, as we hear the ancient prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, we long for the day when death will be swallowed up and every tear will be wiped away. As we wait expectantly for Christ's promised return, we live in the assurance of God's gracious forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. This morning we begin the season of Advent, and almost all of the colors have turned purple today. The minister, of course, is white because it's Communion Sunday, and the communion stole is white. But purple is our color of waiting. Impatient waiting. Have you ever had to wait for something? Waiting for a bus. Waiting for an airplane. Which is a long wait these days, isn't it? Waiting for maybe a special trip that you're going on. Waiting for company to arrive from far away. Waiting for Christmas. Advent is the season of waiting. And as we wait, we prepare for all of those things, right? If you're waiting for a big trip to come, you're packing your suitcase and you're getting all of your things ready so that you're ready to go. If you're waiting for special company to come and visit you in your home, you're cleaning up and you're tidying and you're thinking about maybe what the first special meal with that visitor is going to be, right? And Christmas. Waiting for Christmas. How do we get ready for waiting for Christmas? Well, we put up the decorations, which happened here in the church this week. A bunch of very busy bees were around doing things all week long to make sure things were ready for this morning. I don't know if you've been to the mall yet, but, well, or maybe Amazon these days. I don't know if we go to the mall anymore at all. But you do your shopping and you think about what it is that you might buy for the present for someone else. You maybe ask them for their list of what they would really like to have this year. And we place our focus on what it means for Jesus to come. We place our focus on the birth of the baby Jesus coming into the world. And that's not always easy. Advent, I think, is by and large, people who sit in the pews, their least favorite time of the year. Because some of the texts in Advent, I mean, we like getting ready for Christmas, don't get me wrong. But some of the texts that we read during Advent, they're hard texts. They challenge us about who we are and what we believe and what it means for Jesus to come. Not quite so hard this year, but some years they're really hard. And I don't think people like them very much. It's the season of the year when the minister doesn't hear "nice sermon, preacher" on the way out the door. But it's all the important part of preparing our hearts for Christmas, to remember the things of the world that are difficult so that we can commit ourselves to wait for a loving God who will come and change our world. So as we move through the season of Advent, let us listen for those things that indicate to us that Christ is coming to change our world. Let's pause now for a moment of prayer before we hear this morning's texts from Scripture. Let us pray. Holy One, true and living God, through the message of the Gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, make us imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
The first reading comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 65, reading verses 17 to 25.
For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, and an old person who does not live out of a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
The second reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts!
My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing forth joy in the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise.
Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools.
They go from strength to strength. The gods of gods will be seen in Zion.
O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Hear, O God of Jacob.
Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly.
O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
The next reading is from the Thessalonians, chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 7. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy from the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia.
The last reading is from the New Testament, John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." This is the word of the Lord.
I joined when to the house of God, hymn number 84. In Christ. What I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know the way? Amid the Christmas activities, you see them. The person on the street corner who asks you for your spare change. Or perhaps the Salvation Army kettle at the exit from the Walmart. In a couple of weeks, it'll be right here in our own church. As we bring gifts for women and children who have escaped abuse and sought shelter at Baldwin House, or food for the food bank at Agape Place. But we know that those things that we see are just the tip of the iceberg. Interactions with individuals who are just part of a much larger and much more systemic flaw in our society. And we struggle to come up with answers to the questions of poverty. Do we know the way? We turn on the evening news and we hear about climate protests around the world and protests in Iran over seeking safety and security for women. And we wonder where security will be found. Do we know the way? We hear stories about youth mental health and all of the challenges that are faced by young people today. And others who are starting out in life that we never had to worry about when we, in decades past, when we were starting out on our own. We wonder about the future. and all of its challenges. And we wonder, do we know the way? And we're constantly distracted, aren't we, by the exploits of the rich and the famous. Whether or not the Danish government will dismantle a historic bridge to allow a billionaire to move his yacht from the dry dock in which it was built to the sea. You might have thought they would have thought about that bridge before they built it. Just saying. Or whether Twitter will survive the folly of its new owner. All of these things in the world kind of going awry, and we wonder what are going to be the solutions. Do we know the way? There just seems to be so much uncertainty in our world today. And many people don't know what will come next. And yet, uncertainty is not a new thing, neither in our daily events nor in Scripture. Indeed, the season of Advent each and every year, as we mentioned a short time ago in the time for the young and the young at heart, is always a little bit uncertain. It's always a little bit unsettling. And that happens because we're caught between two epochs. The already and the not yet, as I like to call them. Between curse and promise. Between judgment and mercy. We see just this tension in our text this morning from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The children of God, spoken of in this passage that we read, have certainly known struggle and hardship and injustice. Way back at the beginning of the book of Isaiah, and if you want to sit this afternoon with your Bible and read the first couple of chapters, you will see this to be true. Way back, though, at the beginning, that judgment was proclaimed upon the children of God. God's judgment was being placed upon them for their lack of faithfulness and their lack of seeking out justice for others. And then here at the end, it is the judgment proclaimed against their captors. And in the light of that divine judgment, in the light of all of the suffering that they have endured, God holds out a vision of a new future. God holds out this vision, quite literally, of a new heaven and a new earth, a vision of the inbreaking of God's justice into our fallen humanity. No more, God says, no more shall the voice of crying be heard in Jerusalem. No more will there be a child who will die in infancy. No more will an old man who has not fulfilled his days die. No more will people build houses and not live in them. No more will they plant vineyards and not eat the fruit of them. No more shall they labor in vain. No more. It is into this setting of sorrow and sadness, of injustice and oppression, that the God of hope speaks. New heaven, new earth. Despite all the change and all the suffering of this world, the promise is found in the fact that God is still present with his people. God does not give up on us or upon the creation that God has formed. God sees our trials and hears our cries, and God will respond. It is with this promise in mind that in the fullness of time, God sends Jesus Christ into the world to make God's will and God's way known once more to God's people. The gospel lesson begins with Jesus' words to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." For troubled they surely were. To put this reading that we've just heard into its broader context in John's gospel, Jesus has just shared with the disciples the fact that he everything that would happen in the days to come, how Jesus would be pursued and arrested by the Jewish authorities, tried by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, beaten and killed by the Roman legions. Surely for Jesus' disciples who had followed Jesus for all this time, for Jesus' disciples who had hoped that he would be the Messiah, all of this was troubling news indeed. But Jesus shares with them that his work is not yet finished. Jesus goes on to say, "In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus must go to prepare the place for his disciples, for all of those who would follow him and to know where he is going. Jesus knows that our salvation is not complete until he has bridged the way between earth and heaven, between us and God. And this can only happen in and through his death upon the cross. And in that moment when Jesus dies upon the cross and is placed in the tomb and then is raised again on the third day, in that moment, those two great Advent themes are united into one: judgment and mercy. And in that moment of reconciliation, we find the answer to the question that Thomas asked this morning. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus has shown us the way. Jesus has shown us that he is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the way in that he has taken on human flesh just like ours and lived a life of perfect love, showing us what it meant to live as kingdom people. As we read of Jesus' life in Scripture, we acknowledge that Jesus is the way. But Jesus is the truth in that through the gift of Scripture, we are given this glimpse of God, yes, but then we are invited to be part of it ourselves. The Jesus of history becomes the Christ of our present. As we seek to follow him in all that he does, to acknowledge that in him we see God, and that we are to work for God's justice and mercy in this world. And Jesus is the life. As Jesus defeated the powers of death and hell upon the cross, so too we live in resurrection life. That death is not the end any longer, but that we will share in Christ's resurrection in the last days. That is part of our future hope and anticipation of faith. That one day Christ will come again. And then there will indeed be new heaven and new earth, where all of the pain and the suffering, the sorrow and the crying of this world will pass away. As we come to the table of our Lord this morning, we are conscious of the transcendent reality of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ crosses the boundary of time and space and holds open for us the gateway to eternal life. Past, present, and future of faith are all united in this space, in bread and in wine. So we remember both the divine judgment of God and the divine mercy of God that gives us certainty and hope to live day, each day, in an uncertain world. And to know that in God alone we can place our trust. That with God our hearts indeed need not be troubled, for we dwell in the abiding presence of our Lord. Thanks be to God for his love to us. Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for the many blessings that God has given to me? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Let us now present our tithes and our offerings to God. We trust you, O Lord, to multiply the blessings that these gifts represent. As we pour out your love and grace on those who long to hear your word to them, to see the power at work within them, to feel our comfort beside them, all through the generous gift of your Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to remain standing as we say together the Nicene Creed. The Creed will appear before you on the screens or can be found in the Book of Praise at number 578. We join our voices with the Church of Jesus Christ across all time and space as we say together these ancient words. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and on the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He has ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, and we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and holy and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Our hymn of praise is number 542. "Let all mortal flesh keep silent." Hymn 542.
Thank you.
Please be seated. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, Christ took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." As our Lord Jesus Christ on that night took these elements of bread and wine and gave thanks and praise to God, so let us now come to God, offering to him our praise and thanksgiving for all that Christ has done. We join in the great prayer of thanksgiving, and there are some responses that will occur during this prayer. We begin in response. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise and to worship you in every place where your glory abides. And now we give thanks that in the coming of Christ, the day of our deliverance has dawned. For he comes to judge the world with justice and the peoples by his faithfulness. We wait for the Lord with longing, like those who watch for the morning. For the Lord is love unfailing, and great is his power to save us. Therefore, we praise you, most gracious God, joining our voices with the heavenly choirs and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever sing to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent your only begotten, in whom your fullness dwells, to be for us the way, the truth, and the life. Revealing your love, Jesus taught those who would hear him, healed those who believed in him, received all those who sought him, and lifted the burden of their sin. We glorify you for your great power and love at work in Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new people by water and the Spirit. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and wine from the gifts that you have given us, and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Great is the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this body is Christ's body for us, so send us to be Christ's body for the world. Help us, O God, to love as Christ loved, knowing our own weakness. May we stand with all who stumble. Sharing in his suffering, may we remember all who suffer. held in his love, may we embrace all whom the world denies, rejoicing in his forgiveness. May we forgive all who sin against us. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when with the redeemed of all the ages we will feast with you at your table in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, eternal God, now and forevermore. Hear us now as we continue in prayer, praying in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Bread of life, broken for you. The blood of Christ, shed for you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. We thank you, most gracious God, that through word and sacrament you have given us your Son, who is the true bread from heaven and food of eternal life. So strengthen us in your service that our daily living may show our thanks, and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn for this morning is number 672. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult, and seeing as tomorrow is St. Andrew's Day, we sing this hymn, 672. Watchful. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous and strong. And let all that you do be done in love. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.